name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God. If you pick up a Bible and turn to the New Testament, and you go to the first book of that New Testament, the Gospel of Matthew, and you go to the first chapter of that first book of the New Testament, and then you go to the first verse of the first chapter of the first book in the New Testament, you will read the following that we've just heard. This is the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Now, I'm glad I'm giving a homily on the genealogy and not reading it. I think Terry did a great job. Since I have such perfect pronunciation, I'm really glad he did that. And every year, just before Christmas, this genealogy of Christ from St. Matthew, the Gospel, at the very beginning of the New Testament, is read. It's page one, so to speak, the very beginning. So this must be a pretty important verse, and especially that after that which follows. Why do we do this? Why do we read all these names, some of which we might not be as familiar with? But let's stop and think about what this does convey to us. For one thing, they are the people that God chose down through the ages in whose family the Lord Jesus Christ belongs in his humanity. They are all his relatives. He has a family tree, a real family tree. He is truly human. Jesus was a real person born in a lineage of a family. But he's also truly divine. They could say, he's become one of us. He's our family. But he's also our God, our Savior, the very divine presence in our midst. Now, when you think about a family tree, usually you sort of think about starting at the beginning and kind of going down from there. Well, here in Matthew, that first verse, he really begins saying that Jesus was a descendant of King David, who was a descendant of Abraham. It's sort of a quick Cliff Notes summary of the genealogy, for those of you who know what Cliff Notes are. It is a way of him pointing out at the very beginning that Jesus became man as a Jew in the lineage of Abraham, the father of all Jews, with whom God established the covenant. And he mentions David. And he mentions him first because David was Israel's greatest king, and he was the prototype of the royal Messiah. And so this genealogy of Jesus kind of reveals the history of God's plan of how he was going through this lineage to bring his son into this world, in preparation for all of us to know that he was truly human. That he came to be one of us, which we will celebrate later this week. We celebrate this birth of Jesus every year as a reminder that God is with us. Now, the Jewish genealogy normally just lists, Jews normally only just list the men in their genealogy. This list is somewhat unique. We hear of some of the women as well. We hear of Rahab and Ruth. This is unusual, but it underscores the role of women in the history of salvation. And it's pointing to the role of the Virgin Mary. Very important in the humanity of Christ. And some other names stand out. Some are saints, some are sinners, some a combination of both. And David himself, one of the Psalms expresses it so well. From the depths I cry unto thee, O Lord. Because he himself, even though he was great, he also sinned. From the depths of his despair or shame, from the depths of his own fall, from the depths of his alienation from God, and the darkest depths of his soul, What does he do? He still cries out to God. And what a wonderful picture of us, of repentance. He does not hide from him. He does not go away from him. It is to God that he turns. And so we have many examples to look to in David. And King David mystically typifies the royalty of Christ. Through his anointing by Samuel, David received the authority of kingship to lead Israel and to preserve that covenant of God that had been passed on. And the list here in Matthew, along with the one in Luke, names Joseph as Jesus' immediate predecessor, conferring legal paternity according to the Jewish tradition. In the Old Testament, marriage laws conferred all hereditary rights to an adopted child as much as one that was a biological son. And so it's very clearly that this applies to Jesus. In verse 16, we read that Jacob begot Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. Now this "of whom" here is a feminine form in Greek. So it's only referring to Mary. That he was born of whom. Mary is the "of whom" he's referring to, not to Joseph. Thus Matthew affirms that Jesus was born only of Mary. Joseph acted as Jesus' father in a very, very important role in training him up even as a father. But he was not begotten from Joseph. In verse 18, Matthew writes that Mary, the betrothed to Joseph, she was betrothed to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found with child. And verse 19, then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, here he is referred to as her husband. Now it's kind of interesting because they're not actually married yet. He's betrothed to her. But under Mosaic law, betrothal involves really almost the same entitlements as marriage. And that the Bible often refers to engaged couples as husband and wife because of that commitment even before their marriage. Rachel was called the wife of Jacob before their marriage because of that commitment. So Joseph here is referred to as her husband, but because he never had relations with her, the Orthodox Church often remembers Joseph as the betrothed, pointing out Mary's ever virginity. So it was a big deal that before they came together as husband and wife, she was found with child. Then it says, Joseph, being a just man, did not want to make a public example. And then it goes on to say, but while he thought about these things, and you can imagine, he was thinking pretty heavily about this. And he was a righteous man. Mary was a righteous young woman. And he's puzzled, obviously. Behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and clarified things very well. He said that Jesus will be... he told Joseph that Jesus is going to be born of the Virgin Mary and improving Jesus' divinity. He said an amazing thing, that the pregnancy of the Virgin is by the Holy Spirit. And in verses 22 and 23 we read, all this was done that might be fulfilled by the Lord through the prophet. The fulfillment of the prophecies underscores the intervention of God in history in a very real way at this point in time. And the conception of Jesus fulfills Isaiah 7:14, where we are told that a virgin will conceive and bear a son. Now, this, as we've already said, is a very unique conception. He was conceived in her is not a new person. When we were born, our person was created. Our personhood came into being at that point in time. And there was a time before that we did not exist. In this conception, the person of Jesus Christ already existed. What happened is the eternal Son of God was united, that person was united to the human nature in her womb. The virginal conception to the Holy Spirit and the name of the incarnate Son, Emmanuel, means God with us. And it's clear declarations that, of Jesus' divinity. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and his name shall be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. And it doesn't say man with us, it says Emmanuel, God with us. Sometimes people think about Jesus sort of in the past tense, the young child, and we're kind of very much remembering that this week. Sometimes we think of the future, that Christ is going to be coming again. But you know, this scripture and this particular statement, Emmanuel, God with us, tells us that God is with us in the present at all times. Not in some distant heaven, but here among us. He took on humanity, and he is constantly with us, sharing our sorrows. He's helping us bear our burdens, cleansing our sins. He's showing us eternal life throughout our life. So, why then do both Matthew and Luke include this genealogy of Christ? To show that he's in the lineage of Abraham, the father of all Jews, of whom God established that first covenant. And he's in the lineage of David, Israel's greatest king and prototype. And he reveals the history of God's choice down through the ages. And it shows he was born of a virgin. But yet it very clearly proclaims his divinity in addition to his humanity. God's greatest gift to us was not a code of ethics. It was not a philosophy to go follow. It was himself. Christianity is far more than a series of commandments. More than anything, it's a presence. God is with us in times of trouble, sorrow, times of rejoicing, with us when we fall to raise us up, with us in weakness to make us strong, and with us even in death, for he has overcome death. Behold, I bring you tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and his name shall be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.